Welcome to the House of Pod, a show where we pull back the curtain on the world of medicine, we answer questions about your health, and we interview great guests.
I'm Joe, and I'm not a doctor.
And I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Kaveh.
And we're two gastroenterologists.
What's a gastroenterologist?
You know, the doctors who work with your digestive system.
Say what?
You know, your liver, your pancreas, your intestines.
Where now?
Your butt, Joe. It's your butt.
Oh. On today's short episode, we talk about the best mood music to play during a colonoscopy, and we discuss reasons why people don't or won't see their doctor. Stay tuned.
So Pod, I'm Kaveh.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Joe.
Hey guys, how are we?
We're so good because Joe's back.
Joe, you're back.
So nice to be back.
God, good to see you. Can the listeners hear that you have a beard now?
I was going to ask that.
It's got a real Bob Vea sort of look to it. It's working for me. Like,
what does that mean?
It means
I don't know who that is.
You could either be like doing construction or you could be selling me like hair gel on TV or something.
Or beard gel.
Beard gel.
Yeah,
it's a great idea.
Bob Vea is like a little bit of a, I think, a dated reference. Was he like, he was a TV guy who did like, you know how Property Brothers now is like the DIY, like fix it yourself. They're like adorable Canadian twins. No, yeah. Bob Vea is the original.
Okay. I don't know if there's a millennial reference to Bob Vea.
Everyone knows the Property Brothers. The one who wears the belt with all the tools. As some would call that a tool belt.
No, Andy Man.
I don't know. No, I'm sure.
Not any of those at all.
I got to tell you guys something.
Oh, yeah.
I had the coolest patient ever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I posted this. I tweeted this.
You what?
At the House of Pod. Follow us. But you guys probably didn't see it. But a patient did the coolest thing. What? Came in for his colonoscopy. And I checked to make sure I could mention this on air. Came in for his colonoscopy with his own colonoscopy playlist that he created on Spotify.
That is super cool.
This guy like knows how to get to me because that is how you get to me.
Yeah.
Is that the coolest thing that has ever happened?
That is so cool. And I honestly feel like a kindred spirit because my sister's had three children and each of the children, I did a playlist. I rolled in and I was like, this is for when you're pushing, you need upbeat, oops, oops, oops. And this is for post when you're all like chill and sleeping and, you know, bonding and skin to skin touching. And I had all these playlists for all these children.
Push It would by Salt and Pepper would be too obvious.
I imagine for the first child, I have Push It by Salt and Pepper 20 times on one CD.
I feel like you could do better than
just
that.
As a
I'm
joke.
A disappointed. Okay.
No.
Okay,
that was like the toss. That was the, like a, you know.
Palate cleanser, if you will.
Right. Or like a gag gift, you know? Yeah. Like it was adorable.
What
and
else?
Then it was real. Well, the first child came out to Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA. I think then that's all I remember. And then the other kids are like, nobody even knows their names.
All right. If you were to create your own colonoscopy playlist, what would be on it?
Holy crap. We will post this.
Yeah.
Holy colon.
Holy crap.
I mean, that is so hard. It really is about, I think I'd want to be asleep, you know, and mellow. So it would be like a lot of, you know, one of my favorite artists, Brandi Carlile, a lot of folk music kind of stuff. But what we've decided, Kaveh and I have a pact. I'm going to have him do my colonoscopy. I'm going to be awake for it because I want to experience it because I've done thousands.
She's going to be a backseat driver.
Are you serious?
It's
you're
going to
do
what, so
a colonoscopy
painful.
On Lizzie?
Yeah, I think we might have to air it too.
First of all, we're
great
years
idea.
Away, but this is my whole plan. Listeners, pay attention. I want to be awake because I want to see what it feels like because I've done thousands.
Do you?
And then when you get to this end of the colon, or if you will, the beginning, we tell our patients near where the appendix is, the opposite side of the rectum, then I want 50 to 100 mics of fentanyl. In my vein right away because then the colon part will be done, but I want to know what IV fentanyl feels like. I think it's genius. Would you do this?
I will, but this is like deep cut for like our listeners, but the part of the colon that's the most interesting is really when you're coming back because that's when you're doing the most careful looking to see if there's anything funny.
I'm not worried that you're going to miss anything. That's not why I want to be awake.
I
want to be awake because I just want to experience it because I've done thousands and I think I can handle it because I'm pretty tough. As we referenced with my episode with my father, I was a D1 athlete. I don't know if any of our listeners know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty tough is the point of the story.
Right.
No judgment needed. Okay. No. No.
All right. Hey, I'm agreed. Happy to put you through an unsedated colonoscopy. Do you want to know? Do you want to know what he had on his playlist? Do you want to know what he had on his playlist? Okay, it was a couple of songs. I didn't remember them all, but The Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins. Oh, that's how it starts. That's Come on, that's good.
That's funny. Yeah.
The Long and Winding Road.
Oh my God. He was trying to be funny.
Yeah. Actually, I sometimes hum that to myself if I'm doing a colon last with the long and winding colon.
The Beatles, yeah.
Dancing in the Dark. Isn't that dangerous?
Are some of the songs dangerous, you think, to listen to? Because they're so...
Like, I get so into it, like, I start gyrating my arms wildly. No. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Actually, there were studies that have shown that, like, surgeons do better with music. I mean, I think it depends on the music, of
course. Do you ever get so crazy with music that you have to put the scope down and just walk away in the hallway and start to dance? It's like Footloose.
I just do some punch dancing down the hallways of the hospital. No, but that's what that one dermatologist did. Remember, like, in Florida? That was a dumb thing.
She did a dance.
Yeah. It's people like that that make shenanigans not as fun for the rest of us.
Right.
Totally true.
Well, or her getting fired was really the problem. I'm not sure. Anyway, the other thing is you say a study with surgeons doing better with upbeat music. But there was also a study, I think years ago, that patients did better and they needed less sedation if you play mellow music. Specifically, I think the study was classical music. I can't remember the journal because it's 6 or 7 years ago, but that's a great idea. And I don't think it needs to, they didn't compare like classical mellow with like upbeat and fun.
Yeah.
But I think any music is probably soothing to some extent, unless you hate it.
I always ask the patient, well, not always, I think it's back. Oftentimes I will ask the patient, I'll say, hey, do you have a preference for what you want to hear? If they talk about the music, they notice it.
Yeah.
And actually, I gotta say, unless it's really like disturbs me, I will listen to it. And I've learned about a lot of great music this way.
Yeah.
Like I had this one patient and he came in and I was, we asked, you know, do you have any metal in your body? Because sometimes we do cautery and we need to know where we place like the pad, the grounding pad. And he was like, metal in my body? No. But I got the metal in me, man. And he gave me the double horns. And I'm like, you're so cool.
So cool.
And we played him like, you know, death metal for his colonoscopy. So I try to get the patients to their happy place.
Yeah. The problem with some of my music is that it's not very edited. Like there's a lot of naughty things, you know, like a lot of bad words. That was almost another spit take. There is. I love Jay-Z and I love Kanye and I love like a lot of old school, like Tribe Called Quest.
What would you want to hear, Joe?
For your next colonoscopy.
John Denver.
Okay, sure. He's relaxing.
I like him. Come. I'm a big Denver fan.
I mean, the beard kind of goes with that.
I was going to say, you're doing the John Denver, like Bob Villa thing again.
No,
right
John
now.
Denver, mellow stuff, probably, I think. Yeah. Death metal? I don't know if I want my doc listening to death metal.
I figured you'd want to hear, like, The Who, Quadrophenia. You'd want to hear the whole, like, album.
Maybe the Tommy album for The Who.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. The Doctor would be a good one for that, I feel. Sparks. Amazing Journey, Sparks.
Yes.
Deep cut for
I love that.
Music.
There's so many choices. So many choices.
I had a patient when I was done just kind of wake up. And, you know, everyone's a little self-conscious. They're like, did I have an accident? Did I say something wrong? And one guy woke up was like, is this what having your period feels like? And then he started singing as the nurses pushed him out of the room. It feels like the first time.
Wait, like, but what does that do with the period? Does he think that's where the blood comes out of?
He just like, because it's crampy, you know, and I guess towards the end, he started waking up a little bit. And that's, that's what he meant. He meant like, is the cramping of a colonoscopy similar to having your period? And it was just like, you know, these are fun things that patients have said, you know, and like, I think the playlist is awesome. And I one other thing a patient recently said to me that I told Kaveh, but I want to tell Joe, is that I went down to the ER to say hi to a patient, how are you? And he goes, you know, the ER doctor did a finger exam and I told him to use his other finger because I wanted a second opinion. I was like, that is a great zinger right there, buddy. Like, it was actually very funny. I enjoyed that one.
You do grow an appreciation for like a good old-fashioned butt joke when you're a gastroenterologist.
Right. Okay, you guys, I want to read an email that we got, hopquestions@gmail.com. Thank you for sending the email in. It says the following. Hey, HOP gang, why do you think it is that there are people in the world who won't go see their physicians? What do you think the barriers are? Love the show. Thanks, guys.
That's like a such a simple, beautiful Joe-esque question.
Do you think Joe wrote it?
What's the person? Is it withheld? Name withheld?
Name withheld.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's a good question. And obviously, American healthcare is kind of in shambles. And I think cost and access is like a huge time. Yeah.
Long time. I think a lot of things stop people from going to the doctors besides those big factors. Mental factors, like, you know, a lot of people are afraid to go to the doctor because they're worried that they have something and they don't want to know it.
Right. Denial.
Which is like,
I guess,
the worst.
Yeah.
That's the worst strategy to have. It's good to get preventative care so you can catch stuff early. But that's the biggest thing, I think, is fear is a big, big one. But then this is weird, but it seems like it's almost more with men in that way.
Totally.
And women are the ones getting the men to go to the doctors for some reason.
For sure.
I don't know why.
For sure.
Yeah. I think it's maybe a bravado thing. Like, I'm tough. I don't need a doctor. I'm the provider for my family. That machismo thing. My dad always tells me way after the fact about some concern he had. He said, I had chest pain, so I got a cardiac catheterization, and don't worry, I'm fine. I'm like, so you've been having chest pain for a month or two, and like, you didn't tell me? You know, he just did that last week about something else.
But it's also about the fear thing. I think Joe's right. Like, I think men tend to, I'm sure women are afraid too of the diagnosis, but I feel like it's more often that men have this fear in the back of their mind, and then they sort of put it off and put it off until someone makes them do it. So it's like those things are both true. Like, men sort of want to tough it out, but at the same time, they're a little bit more afraid of what could possibly be there. And there's like that denial too.
I'm trying to understand why that would be, because I feel like, why wouldn't women have that? Is that true, or is that just kind of a bias that maybe you guys have? I'm trying to think of
myself. Women have it too. I'm sure women have it too. It's just that women probably are, boy, I don't know what it is. Maybe women are more comfortable going to a doctor because they have to do these routine sort of OB-GYN visits at some point in their life, and there's things they have to sort of start doing earlier than men. So they have more attuned to that. Maybe, you know, men, with the exception of, like, you know, getting their colon cancer screening starting at 50, they're not like routinely going to a doctor before that. They should be, but they're not.
Women are supposed to have pap smears, I think, as soon as they start having sex, or the latest, I think, is to age 21. And that's usually every 1 to 3 years from that point forward. So you're right. I didn't think about that, that at least going to your OB-GYN, not necessarily your primary care doctor, but a lot of OB-GYNs practice primary care medicine to young women because that's your only doctor, you know? I think another reason people don't go to doctors is judgment. You know, one of my friends told me the other day, my mother won't go to the doctor because she doesn't want to be told she's fat. Like, because her BMI is like 45. Normal is like 25. She's very overweight. And she just doesn't want to be told that because it makes it like real and embarrassing. She knows she's overweight, but she just doesn't want it on paper, you know?
Can I ask you a question about that? And I want Joe to weigh in on this too.
Weigh in.
I meant that.
That
I didn't.
Good. Yeah.
There was some discussion I saw on Twitter that, you know, there was a doctor, it was like a resident, had posted something like, I'm never going to talk about my patient's weight. Like, I'm never going to directly talk about my patient. There's no reason to have to talk about the weight. You can talk about their health in a lot of ways, but you don't ever need to tell someone, you don't even have to give them the number. And I think the point of it was sort of that, like, there are, you know, we've kind of talked about this. There are ways to be healthy even if your weight is up. And it is just a number, and we care about a lot of things. And sometimes a number isn't as important as other things, like what they're doing for diet, what they're eating, how they're eating, and how they're exercising, how they're living. But I don't know, personally, I'm not ready to give up the weight as something to discuss with patients. I feel like sometimes you have to talk to patients about being overweight.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine. I think there's many reasons to bring it up. One is patients, you know, once you gain weight and you've been at a heavier weight for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, you forget about it. I mean, I'm sure you think about it every time you put on your clothes, but you forget that it's a problem. Like, I mean, we've all been there. We've all been overweight at some point, right? And if someone tells you, you're like, oh my God, other people notice. I thought it was just a couple pounds or whatever. And I also think it's really important to have a goal, like to have a number. I don't think the number is super important, but I want to be able to tell my patient, oh my God, look, I have, you know, Kaveh and I use liver labs a lot. but I want to be able to prove to somebody that they're doing a really good job and all their effort has paid off. And I want to be able to objectively and concretely say what a good job it is, you know? And I also, this summer, I was with Tyler's family and someone made a point of saying that one of her colleagues came to work one day and was like, my doctor told me my BMI is too high. I have to lose weight. Again, he didn't know
right. That
it was abnormal. You know, I think he lives in like Michigan. Maybe right. The normal's a bit different mm-hmm. where your local cultural kind of environment is. I'm not judging Michigan.
Shout out to our Michigan peeps.
So sorry. I think we've mailed some stickers there. I think that sometimes you actually do need a professional, perhaps in a white coat, telling you what you're doing is not actually healthy, even right. Though you feel like you're comfortable, your family still loves you. Maybe you're moderately healthy, but you need to be told.
One thing. Yeah. I got to confirm everything you said. Both of you guys, you have to tell the patient everything, I think. Like, don't even worry about the feelings hurt, because information is key. A lot of times they don't even know what's wrong with them or why something's wrong. And I think the more data you give, the more likely they're going to be to do the goal thing. That's a great idea. Right.
I will say this. I think there's a lot of different ways to do it, and there's no reason to do it in a way that seems judgmental.
Right. You're not saying you look fat, your clothes are dumb. You're right. Saying, I think I'm worried about your health impact.
I did have a patient, by the way, tell me. She came into the room. She's like, you gained weight. I'm like, hey, who's on trial here? Anyway.
You are. The patient's on trial, clearly.
But it is. I mean, there are ways of talking about it, I think, without being judgmental. And I hope I'm able to do that with all things, like their alcohol intake,
yeah. Whatever
things they're doing to their body that may not be healthy for them. I mean, it would actually be nice to get somebody on to give us sort of a contrary opinion. I've actually tried. There are people out there who have contrary opinions to this. I've actually reached out to a couple of them. They very politely have declined to come on the show. But I would like at some point to hear a different opinion, because I do think that there is room for discussion here. There is certainly room for discussion in that there should be body diversity. I'm totally good with that. In fact, I think it's a good thing. But talking about someone's weight sometimes is useful. Sometimes it's not. If I have a patient that looks like they're in great health, their numbers look great, everything about them looks great, except for maybe the numbers on the scale don't look like what we expect them to, that's not a big deal to me. But it should be something I should be able to discuss with my patients. I'm not ready to give that up.
Yeah. And you don't have to say, I think you're not healthy. You can say, you know, I know you feel healthy. I know you're trying your best. But the guidelines say that this is ideal. Everyone's different, but that's guidelines. And that's my job, is to educate you about guidelines. And again, guidelines don't apply to every single person. That's why they're called, they make suggestions. They're guiding you, right? And not everything's like 100% fact and concrete. But those are reasons why people don't go to the doctor, for denial and cost and access and judgment. And if there's anyone else, if our listeners can think of any other reasons, I guess you hate your doctor. Very early in the show, we talked about breaking up with your doctor, which we should probably revisit.
Yeah,
if you
hate
your doctor,
agree.
You should fire them.
All right. So if you guys have any other suggestions as for what keeps people from going to see their doctor and what can be done about it, or if you have anything else you want to talk to us about, please get a hold of us. Multiple ways to do so. You can email us at the house. Sorry. Email us at hopquestions@gmail.com. That's hopquestions@gmail.com. Or follow us on Facebook at The House of Pod. We're pretty easy to find there. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The House of Pod. It's a great way to be in contact with us. I'll give a couple of shout-outs here before we are finished. First one. So, you know, there's a lot of medical shows out there. And I don't know how you guys are, but the truth of it is I don't listen to a lot of medical shows. There's a couple I listen to. Most of them, they're great, but they're not really what I'm looking for. They're not. That's part of the reason we started the show. So there was like nobody doing what we wanted to hear. So we did it ourselves. But there's one show that I'm really enjoying, and it's called Solving Healthcare. It's a show in Canada, actually. And it's really fun to sort of hear this guy, the host, Quadro, who I think he gets it. Like, he talks like a normal human being. He addresses really serious, fun, interesting topics. From a really down-to-earth perspective. So it's really, if you have any interest in healthcare, particularly Canadian healthcare, check out that show. Also, I just did an interview on a show called Your Podcast or Mind. You can find it there. That was a fun one. And also did something at SF Sketchfest with Quizotron. We'll put up links to all that stuff on our Twitter. You guys can find it there. Those are my plugs. You guys got anything to plug?
We will have Rebecca Watson on the show in the future, the host of Quizotron.
Oh, yeah. She's so funny. She's super good. You want to plug your beard, Joe?
They're not beard plugs.
Oh, we should post a photo of your face, your beautiful face.
I'll do that. We'll post that. Anyways, stay tuned. We'll be back in hopefully no more than a week or two with another episode. We're trying. We're trying, people. We're trying to be more regular, much like our patients with constipation. Take care.
The opinions on this podcast are broadcasted for educational and informational purposes only and do not represent the opinions of our employers. These opinions are not intended as a diagnosis, treatment, or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a local physician or other healthcare professional for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs or concerns. All anecdotes and patient-related details have been changed with respect to date, sex, and certain details so that patient identification is not possible.